warmest greetings to dearly beloved in Christ. I must thank the pastors and the session and you all for inviting me to speak God's word this morning. And surely it's my great joy to come and minister God's word. How wonderful it is to come in God's presence and into His sanctuary. Oh, certainly we need the Lord's help, especially in this time that we're living in. Living for Him in this evil time. Surely that calls for something in us to respond. It calls for us to do some introspection. Let us ask the Lord to help us. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. Loving Father, we thank you for thy gracious, marvelous love to each and every one of us in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful redemption. We pray, God, you may wash and cleanse us, especially in thy most unworthy servant, as he bring forth your word, Lord. Spirit of God, we pray, descend upon each and every one of us, and guide us into the truth. Help us. We plead and ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Today, we see the social and the cultural and political landscape have changed very significantly and globally. And that also includes Christendom, and that's where you and I, we all are involved in. This is the age we see of apostasy, we see of many lukewarmness, compromise, the age of postmodernism that tell us that there is no absolute truth. We see also the religious pluralism. I'm sure when we go evangelism, we often heard this reply. All religions are the same. They will one day lead to God. Oh, great calamity has come these days. We see lots of secularism. We see a lot of, in the cyberspace, lots of atheism. We see the world has been enlarged tremendously in the cyberspace. Just name a few only. And also we see the rise of, what is more important is the religious extremists and activism. And this is of great concern to all nations, including our little nation. The world is getting more and more hostile to Christianity and to us, and in many more places than before. And there will be all this hostility. And God has told us very clearly in Psalms chapter 2, can you turn with me to Psalms chapter 2? How God tells us to be ready, to be prepared for the evil time to come. Let me read only two verses, Psalm 2. And the kings of the earth said themselves, the rulers, speaking, the king speaks of the rulers of the world. And the rulers, they counsel together. There is that great confederacies of powers against God, against us. And they are saying, let us break the bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Christianity binds us. We got to be free from this bondage. This is the evil message of this day. We see in John chapter 15. Please kindly turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 20. Here again, the loving words of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And if we turn to 1 John, 1 John, we see in chapter 3, verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And surely the hatred will keep on mounting. Men now openly rebel against God and against His word, against His authority. That's what we see today. Men want to usurp the authority of God. And we also see very strong confederation of oppositions and rebellion, stark rebellion. We see these days evil is deemed as good and good as evil. And what is worse, that must send us, you and I, on our knees, is that certain sins is now institutionalized. I don't have to name them. They will surely come to our shore sooner or later. But we thank God for our government has still resisted this. But the rebellion and the confrontation is very strong. What a calamity it is, my dearly beloved. This evil time that we are living. And what more? If you look globally, we see more and more of this silencing and censoring of Christian views, of faith, and of the cross. They hated the cross, knowing that the Bible tells us that the worst is yet to come in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Our questions I want to pose to myself and to you is this. How then shall we respond in the light of such animosity, such hatred, in this very trouble and aggressive days of evil and increasing spiritual darkness? This is the haze that we are going to be very, very worried about. We can't be hazy about things concerning this evil time. We experience the haze. We couldn't see things very clearly if we were driving. We couldn't see buildings clearly. But we can't afford to be lukewarm. We can't afford to be hazy. We need to be looking into God's word, arming ourselves what to do. What do we conclude from all this? The question that comes to you and me is this. Is God still on the throne? How are we responding? So you need to ask yourself two questions. What must we be? And what we must do? Surely, in the light of all these happenings, what we must be and what we must do. So this morning, together, we will consider this in the light of His holy word. What we must be then? Number one, God tells us, fear not. Surely this is something that will come to us. There will be that fear that we will have. The Lord tells us, fear not, stand firm. Stand firm in His word. Stay faithful to Him. Be steadfast. That's what we must be. Next, He tells us, we need to be wise in this evil time. Let's go together this. What must we do then? We see what we must be and what must we do. We must be equipped spiritually daily. And we'll consider together why we need to be equipped spiritually daily. We need to seek to assemble for worship, for prayers, for the study of His word, in serving Him and discipling others. We need to rejoice finally in the midst of troubled times. Let's go one by one. Fear not. You are told, fret not, panic not, don't be discouraged, don't get outraged. Be patient. God will give us that patience that we need. Why? Because God is very much in control. And He is carrying out His redemptive plan of salvation for mankind. Every day, all over the world, we need not fear. And looking at Psalms 2, kindly turn with me to Psalms 2, chapter 2. Looking at verse 4, it tells us as God looked down at the rebellion of man against Him and His authority, against His children. God says in Psalms 2 verse 4, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Why? The Lord shall have them in derision. Because they are like ants in God's sight. It's so easy to kill ants in our path. They are so helpless. And therefore God will laugh. And then He says, the Lord shall have them in derision. This is the Almighty God that we believe in. He's in control of the world. And He's seated on the throne. And first, if we turn to 1 Peter, please kindly turn with me to 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 14, he tells us, "But if we suffer for righteousness' sake, we shall suffer for righteousness' sake. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror." Don't be afraid. "Neither be troubled." Certainly we will be afraid and be troubled by this. And he assures us again in John, Gospel of John, chapter 16. What great assurance from our loving God and Savior. John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." That's what we need in this world today. We need peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation." How wonderful God's word is. The Holy Bible is the most remarkable book we hold in our hand, we treasure it. He tells us in this world there will be tribulations. He did not tell us there will be troubles. He says more than that. You have more than troubles. You have tribulations. You have persecutions. You will be hard-pressed, as if squeezed and verging on death. Oh, may we continue always to treasure His word. In Job chapter 1, verse 10, we see how Satan knows we are his precious one. And he told God, he says that, "You know why Job is so good? It's because you protected him. You have provided him a hedge." God says, "Fine, I'll take the hedge away and see what you can do to him." And we know how God specially showed to Satan his mighty power. Remember the verse that we have taken just now. "Fear not them which kill the body." Yes. This is what we hear today globally in certain parts of the world. I don't have to mention it. They kill the body. But God tells us they will not be able to kill the soul. He tells you and me, fear. Fear the Creator. Fear the living God who is able to kill the soul and the body. What a great comfort to each and every one of us. I love this verse because this verse will help us when the violence comes. We'll be ready, knowing what man can do to us. He can take our body. He cannot take our soul. Wonderful, hallelujah. And that's why we see many martyrs. Why? Because they know the most that man can do against him and his children is to destroy the body. His word is replete with judgment that will fall on all these evil, wicked men. And we must respond, lamenting, praying for God's mercy, that God will turn their hearts to Him. In Psalms 119:136, when the psalmist saw the calamity in his time, he wept. Tears flow from his eyes. That's why we need to respond in this evil time. Psalms 139 verse 136. Look at Psalms 82. Look at Psalms 83. I thank God for this body of Christ. Your elder lead just now. Pray the Psalms. We often read the Psalm. And that's why we don't benefit from God's word. We should not just read the Psalm. We should pray the Psalm. Very few churches today pray the Psalms. I'm so touched. This is a great step in the revival and the renewing of the church. The church must come to pray the Psalms on the knees. How many of us pray the Psalms? All of us read the Psalms. Very few pray the Psalms. I thank God for this church. The next thing I touch is this church always use the Lord's Prayer. Wonderful. My dearly beloved, continue to do so. God will bountifully bless the church. The Lord's Prayer can hardly be heard these days in churches. Sorry for my digression, but it is something that is very important in this evil time. We need to pray the Psalms, like I mentioned here. Go home and read Psalms 82, Psalms 83. How to pray? Not in the outrage. Lord, destroy them. No, no. Look at God's wonderful instruction. How to respond in this evil time. And I put it here in Psalms 82, 83. In essence, you see the psalmist seeing the violence, he prayed hard for the glory of God. My dearly believer, that's what we need to do in this evil time. Knowing all this, let's pray, let's lament and pray for the glory of God. He is all wise. He is all powerful. The world is in his hand. The rulers of the world is in his hand. Psalms 2 tell us. Next, we need to stand firm. Be steadfast. Knowing even the consequences. In Revelation 2:10, you see the church at Ephesus been told, be patient, endure, be firm, be steadfast, continue what you're doing, continue in the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9, likewise encourage us. God understand us. He will know we have that fear. We will have that panic. We will be panicky. Next, we need to be as wise as serpents. Very interestingly, God's word. Beautiful. God speaks to us in a very special way, specifically. And we should all treasure and enjoy and experience him. Be wise as serpents. Be harmless. Oh yes, it's what we need to do. He knows we will, in vengeance, we will kind of react. No. be harmless as doves in this evil time that we are living in. Much wisdom is needed as we look around and see more open confrontation. But we be like the serpents. You go to the zoo, those who are animals lovers, serpents very interesting. You see, God is, he want to give, teach us, and he brings this picture of the serpent. The person, the serpent doesn't go for open confrontation. He sees things afar off. He sighs everything up before he make a move. Wow, that's what God wants us, you and I, to be in the midst of this evil time. To ask him for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God. Size up the whole situation. Be like the serpents. But you see, the serpent is ever ready. He is ever ready to respond in the best effective way. And that's what God wants us to be. When he tells us, be wise as serpent. Careful. Don't harm anyone. This is what we must be. Ready to respond in ways that pleases him. In a way that glorifies him. This is the paradigm of our thinking. And let's be aware also in Christendom. That's why I speak of changes in Christendom. Let's be aware of changes in Christendom. We see also certain men's, some even prominent pastors, I mentioned here, evangelists, preachers, and theologians even, saying, propagating different doctrines because of the fear of man, because of the changes in this world. They believe that we need to change. They have forgotten God is all wise, all powerful. He's all in control. That's what we must be, my dearly beloved. Trust no man. Neither trust ourselves. We only trust in God, our living God, our wonderful God. Our focus on Jesus Christ, the victorious Lamb. And that's why we gather today on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a special day where our focus, our heart, and our mind must be focused on the Lamb, the glorious Lamb that seated on the throne. He tells us about the future. He tells us about the glory to come, amazing, surpassing our understanding. When we see the glory of Jesus Christ, our focus then on him is to glorify him in how we stand up in the midst in this evil time. How we speak for him in our conduct, lest we mar his glory. May the Lord help you and me. Now we go to the next part. What we must be, we know. What must you and I do in this evil time? Be equipped ourselves spiritually. I need to put daily. I need to stress on daily. Oh, that's it. Daily. Good. We need to be equipped ourselves spiritually daily. We need three things. Three things that we need to be, we must be. Three things that we must do. And these are the three things that we must do. Be equipped ourselves spiritually daily. Seek. We must seek to assemble. We don't seek to assemble. That's in this evil time, we must seek to assemble together. How important is the church? The church is not man's idea. that we just gather together. The church is God's manifold wisdom. We need to seek, have that seeking heart, strong desire in this evil time to assemble together for worship, for prayers, for study of His Word, serving Him. Let's all serve Him, young and old. No one can say, I cannot serve the Lord. Lord, I'm so weak physically. God, you know how old I am, 90 years old. I cannot. The Lord says, you can. You can serve me. Even you're on the bed, you can serve me. You're praying for my people. You're praying for my church. You are praying for my glory. And then next, the last one. In the midst of this evil time, to rejoice. Let's see how God tell us. How are we able to rejoice? It's easier said than done. But God tell us, we will experience this. We will be able to do it. Not in our own flesh. Not with our own wisdom. Not in our own effort. Number one, be equipped spiritually daily. How? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. We need to seek God in this time more earnestly and progressively more and more. Meaning to say, we need to put a charge. How are we progressing? As year come by, are we seeking you and me more and more of Him? Or it's kind of stagnant. Oh, I've known the Lord. Oh, that's it. In this evil time, we need to have more personal experiences with God, my dearly beloved. How do we have it? Not in vision and dreams? Through His Word. Communing with Him. And I put here, view every day as an opportunity for days of devotion. Be devoted to our God. He gave us another day that we may devote ourselves to Him. Oh, how wonderful it is. I'm challenging every, the young and old here. Especially the young ones. In your days of vigor and energy, seek Him. Experience His power in your life. Every day an opportunity to devote yourselves to Him. And He will work in your life. And we shall experience Him. It's a day of not only devotion, I mentioned. It's a day of awe. Worship. We don't worship only once a week. Together we worship today, Lord's Day, yes. From Monday to Saturday, there's a days of private devotion and worship in our little corner in all the places in this island. We can't afford to be complacent or lukewarm in this evil time that we live in. And of course, those of us who are slumbering spiritually, we need to wake up to see the power of God, to see the glory of God, and the glory to come. We need to read His Word. All of us read the Word. Pastor said, you don't have to tell us. We all read the words. Surely we all, I can safely say 100% here. We all read the Word of God. But the challenge to us is, do we read His Word daily, number one, in the midst of our very tight schedule, our business world, our working places, our study? Oh, we need to carve out the time that we can read His Word daily and devotionally. Pastor Sid, what do you mean by reading devotionally? Luke chapter 24, verse 32, we see the account they have with Jesus. Beautiful. When God opened His Word to them, the Word of God burned in their hearts. That's what I mean by devotion. The Spirit of God will work in your heart and my heart. Living Word. How wonderful it is. That's how we equip ourselves ready for this evil time. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we are told that we need to sanctify our hearts daily. Meaning to say that we need to set apart in our hearts and count Him as Lord. Where is the Lord in us? We need to live in submission to our Lord Jesus Christ, loving and obeying Him. Do you know why I put the slides in colors? Colors will help us to remember things, and most important, remembering God's Word. Now talking about equipping ourselves spiritually, the devil is our adversary. We are told in James 4 verse 7 to resist the devil. Submit to God and resist him. God will give us the victory. And this evil time is the time that he knows, Satan knows, his days are numbered. We all know when a person's days are numbered, how do they react? They will do their best to destroy us. But thanks be to God, you can destroy the body. You cannot destroy the soul. Every day is a spiritual battle, my dearly beloved. That's how the Lord placed in my heart to give this message to me, to you. Every day, do we see every day as a spiritual battle? More often than not, no. We are fine. We come to church every Lord's Day. We attend the prayer meeting. We join the Bible study group. We are fine. The devil will deceive us to tell us we are fine. But the Word of God instructed us and tell us we are not fine, because every day is a spiritual battle. Let me go to this very briefly, because all of us know about the whole armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, we are told to put on the whole armor. We all have heard messages on the whole armor of God, but let me tell you the essence of it. Very quick essence. These are the seven important things that will help us equip ourselves in this evil time. The first three, Satan will attack on our truthfulness. On the right-hand side, of course. Right-hand side, yes. You will see the pieces of armor, but we're not interested in the pieces of armor. We are interested in what is God telling us. Truthfulness. Satan will attack on this area of truthfulness. Mark it down. Number two, righteousness. Mark it down. Number three, gospel of peace. Let's all have this well guarded. Are we? The challenge to you and me, these three areas, has been spiritually equipped. The next four. Oh, you will attack our faith. There you are. You see, are you not scared? Do you not have the fear? Death is coming. Violence is coming. Salvation. Are you really safe? You mean God will save you despite of your sinfulness? Oh no. Oh no. The Word of God. He will attack on the Word of God. And worse still, He will find us not using the Word of God. Where is our sword, my dearly beloved, most of the time? It's in the sheath. We didn't take it out. Don't be like the military. They always put the weapons in the sheath. Only when the danger comes, they strike it out. Don't. Our method is one. The sword is always in our hand. Always in our hand. My dearly beloved, hold it in your hand. Daily. Don't put it down. Pray and watch in the spirit. We must never take off this whole armor of God. I'm speaking from experience. In the past, I used to take off the whole armor. Once in a while, we put on. When danger, we do see dangers coming, we suddenly put it on. No, God says you put it on. Don't take it off. It's a daily spiritual battle. Why are you taking it off? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, my time is almost up. We are told to be strong in the Lord, very important. And this is in there. Very important that we know that the strength, when God says be strong in Him, God is not telling us, come on, you put on your flesh and then try your best to be strong in Him. No, He tells us very clearly from His Word, the strength comes from Me. I will make you strong. Daniel 11:32, please read up at home. Those who know God, you and me know God. Daniel 11:32. He told us, unlike others in this world, you are My children. You will be strong. What a great verse is this. As we have been armored daily, don't put it off. The Lord will strengthen us. He will provide us the power that is beyond our comprehension. And Michael tells us, in the midst of this, be humble. He knows our weaknesses. Be humble. So that God be exalted. The global calamity has come. Let us be forewarned. Let us all be ready. Let us lament together. Pray hard for God's glory. Pray like Asaph in Psalms 83, particularly in verses 15 to 18, you see his motive of his prayer. When the calamity comes, God's glory, everything for His glory. This is the time, number two, having known that we've been equipped spiritually, we need to seek to worship Him, to study His Word, to to pray together. I'm so glad you all have a pre-worship prayer. Two disciples. God save us. The joy of salvation. How wonderfully to tell it to others. He has this church. And let us all, you in your church, seek to assemble together as often as we can in the midst of our very tight schedule. None of us are free. All of us are very busy. But let us know that this evil time has come. Let us seek to come together. It will be a different message if I give on talking of coming together. Why God wants us to come together. How each and every one of us has to play our part. Many times we don't see it. We just see it as, okay, God wants us to just assemble on the Lord's Day to worship Him. God just wants us on prayer meeting to come together to pray. It's right. More than that, let's see God's plan of it. Wonderful plan in His church. We, besides our prayer, worship and prayer privately, we need to, Hebrews 10 verse 25 will tell us how we need to come, seeing that the days are evil, is coming, draweth nigh. God exalted us. Loving God exalted us, you and me. Let's come together more and more. And then in this evil time, God wants His church to so give up the light, the gospel of peace, the light to so shine in this community here. I'm so glad the light from here shines to oversee. Your dear pastor has gone to Cambodia. I thank God for your foreign missions. The light must so shine not only here, far and wide, as the Lord opened the doors. As we see the days are evil, we are more challenged to give to missions, go for mission trip. That's what God expects from you and me. Be ready, be prepared, seize every opportunity God has given to us and proclaim Him as God and Savior. And He tells us His business. That's the Lord's business on this earth. Loving, wonderful, amazing business. You know, when we do our own business, we got to use our own faculty to do it, our strength. But God's business, He is the Lord. He does it all. We are just like pawn in the chessboard, used by Him. How good it is that we are given sinners, wretched sinners, you and me, can be used as His instrument. Understand all this. Knowing all this, surely there is no better time than now to speak for Him and to tell others of Christ. Daniel 12:3 tells us how we shall be like. You and me shine as stars. We love stars, right? From young. You know, twinkle, twinkle, little stars. Beautiful as we look afar off. Though the stars be big because of the great distance, we see the twinkling of the little bright spot. God says, I want you to shine in your little corners wherever He has placed you in. And God has placed us all in different places. I can safely say now, though I don't know I only know a few of you. Different places. Some are working in the varsity. Some are studying in the varsity. Some are doing their own business. Wherever you are. God says, I shall make you little stars that shine for me in this evil time. What a great privilege we all have. God wants us to make more positive Christ-like impact in this society that we live in through all our lives. We need to influence people instead of being influenced by people. That's where the things go wrong. We are placed in the varsity, we are placed in the business world, we are placed in the places of employment. Let us all, dearly beloved, be influencers. Let's influence others. Knowing this evil time especially, it's great motivation. Knowing that what will happen to the wicked one. Knowing how God loves the world so much. Let us now go out and tell them. And God has placed us in different places. To those of you who are teachers, your students should be great influence to your students. I just pick an example. You'll be great influence to your colleagues. And you'll be great influencer wherever God has placed you in. Whatever position you are in, everyone can be influencing others. Oh, I'm a nobody in my company. Surely, you're nobody? You can, because there's so many bodies there. You'll be influencing them. Just like Joseph. The people around him knows he is with an almighty God. Let's be different. That's what we need to be different. Very simple message from God. Because we're to shine as stars, lights and salt. Be different. Not conform to this world. If we need any conformity, it will be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is. Let's be busy now. In this king's business of making disciples, Luke 28:19, and Luke 19:13, Matthew 28:19. We need to make disciples. And now comes another important thing that we need to take note in this evil time. We need to pray for our national leaders. Who stop? No. We're going to pray for our neighboring leaders. Very important. They will have impact upon us. Our neighboring leaders. Stop. No. Globally, things have changed. We're going to pray for the world leaders too. Lastly, let's rejoice in the midst of these troubles, knowing the enemies of Christ are around us, knowing many who want to persecute us, and knowing that the rewards will come to each and every one of us. Be faithful to Him. Stand firm. How wonderful it is. We can rejoice. Why? Because we are anchored with Him. Because we are in a great company. And Romans 8:35, very common, familiar verse. nothing can separate us from His steadfast and boundless love. Nothing. His word is very clear. Persecution, death, even down to earth, physical affliction. When we are in deep physical affliction, the elderly ones, how do we feel? Oh, I cannot do many things. Oh, I cannot do any things. Oh, I can't, I'm hopeless. No! In your dire physical affliction, God will show His glory. Look at Romans 8:37. We are told that we are more than conquerors. In others, you and I, we are super conquerors. How wonderful it is. Not just conquerors, super conquerors. What do we mean by super conquerors? God is telling us that we keep on being conquering. And the degree, our conquest is getting more and more. It is very sweeping and very overwhelming. That's what God tells us. In Christ, we are making this conquest. Come, what may. God has special revelations for you and for me, for His glory, when suffering comes. Those who make a stand for Him, God will help us, and we are the one who will experience His power. Let us now do this to honor Him in our life. Now, not later. Don't wait till the time comes. When the persecution comes, He says, okay, I will honor you, Lord. No, God says, you honor me now. You show to me now. That's how we get ready. That's what we must do. We will honor Him in the many decision makings that we have in life. Even after this, we all make decisions. I also make decisions what I'm going to do. We all make decisions. In our decision making, take pain to learn to honor Him. And when calamity comes, we be ready. Because 1 Samuel 2:30 tells us how He will honor us. And John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, greater work than this shall we do, because I'm gone, but I've sent my blessed Holy Spirit to you all. Ultimately, God rules today and forevermore. Right now, God rules and He reigns. And is victorious over all. He tells us, He gives us a preview of the future, eternity. What He says? Revelation 19:16, Daniel 7:27, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of His power will be given to the people for the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom, God's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. How wonderful it is. Back to Matthew 10:28, a very dear reminder to one and all. Let's pray. Father, Father, we thank you for your precious and wonderful words to teach us and guide us what we must be in this evil time, what we must do, Lord. Help us. We give thanks and ask this all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.